Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
10 p.m., Sunday night. That means it's one thing and one thing only. All you out there in listener land are tuning in for the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. Starring me, Mal, and
Dr. Morbius.
From parts unknown.
Oh, when you point at me, I'm supposed to say something.
Usually, humorous things or enlightening things.
Yeah.
You're like, you can keep that finger from pointing at me then. No.
Oh.
Well, welcome. Thank you for tuning in, like always, to the Radio St. Pete show, The Indie Circuit. It's an exclusive show made only for you, the listener of Radio St. Pete.
I thought it was just for me.
And you.
Okay, thanks.
The talker of Radio St. Pete.
I feel better now.
Yeah, good. You're like, I wasn't feeling too special, but I do now.
No, I do feel special.
Thanks for tuning in.
You're welcome.
You're tuning in too?
Yeah, I'm tuning in too. Yeah.
Good. I need all the listeners.
This show is for me.
I need all the listeners I can get.
Oh, the hell with them. No, yeah, we love you. All you millions of listeners out there in Radio Land.
Demographics filling in from all over the world.
Yes.
Hey, we're on the archive section now, so that's awesome.
Nice. Okay.
For a while we weren't, but now if you did miss, if you were sleeping in Sunday from all the ironing,
you
were ironing when you were getting ready for work, irons anymore. I don't think.
No, I don't iron. I've got a few problems I need to iron out, but as far as clothes, I just put them in the washer and take them out.
You know, I'm still old school. I still iron clothing. Believe it or not.
You ironed the workout on those t-shirts.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
So
mom does have an iron though, but she does.
I have an ironing board, an iron. I always like try and press my clothing for the week of work. I don't think anyone does anymore.
Can you make like grilled cheese sandwiches on the
I could.
Board? Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Teflon, just grill it down,
why
right?
Not.
Probably
why not? Form, like the good old days.
Instead of the Foreman grill, it would just be like the Mao grill.
Yeah, yeah. Popeil. You can put the two iron. Instant grilled cheese.
Boy, man, remember that guy?
Popeil, Ronco, all those gadgets used to be on TV. Remember
wow.
That stuff?
As seen on TV.
As seen on TV.
Now
yeah.
That little label means yuck. That means don't buy it.
Mr. Microphone. Hey, good looking. We're coming back to pick you up. Yeah. I actually found a commercial for Mr. Microphone. I'm going to be putting it on one of the shows.
Nice. Oh, yeah. We have a video project that we like to do. It's
Creature Feature.
Creature Feature starring Doc and Clown. And it's great fun. But we're also always grabbing up various video pieces from various places. And it always
popular culture.
Makes a mashup of stupidity. And,
that known is, as the 70s.
Yeah.
And 80s. And 90s.
Boy, I'm just thinking back to all those commercials that we grew up watching with that cheesy stuff. And I thought it would be worse now, but it might not be worse now.
Yeah, you know, it's memorable because it's like, look, hey, there's Mikey. He'll eat anything. You know, those words are like immortal. You know, nowadays, what do you got? You know, like all these stupid infomercials at night that are go on forever.
They're not funny either.
I do miss the, never mind. There were certain ones that I did miss. For like some products or whatever.
Oh, cool. Well, wait. Keep those. We're going to go to music. And then when we come back to music, we're going to delve deeper into this.
Delve deeper.
I love infomercial guys. I like the pitch men. I like the whole
Billy
thing.
Billy Mays.
They're so funny. They're so
and Willie Mays.
Yeah. Well, we'll be right back.
Mark. Yeah. Ing. Yeah. Bird. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mockingbird, don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a Mockingbird. And if that Mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring don't shine.
They were the
Oh, you remember Borat jokes? Woof, they couldn't go. They couldn't go away fast enough. All right, so that, I mean, funny movie, but okay. That was Red Bacteria Vacuum with what did I play for you? I played The Big Moon and then Envy, and then Heavy Breathing from Mrs. Red Bacteria Vacuum.
I actually used to work with somebody that sounded like Borat. Kind of funny when I listen when I listen to that guy. It's like, yeah, it did kind of sound like dude, but you know,
very funny premise, very funny move. I didn't see the movie, but I've seen enough clips of it that now I don't want to see the movie. But it's like, but you know, that guy was who's the guy that did that?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
That's okay. That's what I thought it
he
was.
He also did that Ali G character too.
Yeah,
he specializes in uncomfortable humor.
Yeah, and I don't like that so much.
I know a lot of people that don't. I kind of like it. I like Andy Kaufman and stuff like that. But it's definitely like the uncomfortable humor, you know. The squirming in your pants like, oh, no, this is... but anyway.
You remember back in the 90s, like when the stand-up comedians, it was always that brick wall. And then every now and then there was like a comedian that would come up and his whole act was just making fun of people sitting right in front of him, like being a real jerk, you know.
Well, you know who the king of that is?
Andrew Dice Clay? Or?
Well, no, Rickles, man.
Oh,
Rickles,
yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's the king of that, but he was so good at it that people wanted to be made fun of, you know.
That's you've made it. You really made it.
You have, and he's still around today. He still does shows. I mean, he's like
Don
90.
Rickles?
Yeah, he still does shows.
I'm more surprised he's alive.
He's one of the last, and so is his buddy, Bob Newhart. Those two guys are still alive, and they're best friends, too. They're still around. Yeah, Rickles is still around.
I didn't know either of them was still alive. I just assumed they weren't.
No.
Bob Newhart, I have some of his record albums. I have some
Newhart's
of his albums.
Funny,
you know, yeah.
I miss that old, like, you know, comedy, but Rickles is, like, the king, man.
He was so mean-spirited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't go to comedy shows is because I don't want to get pointed out in the audience to make fun of.
Yeah, that's not fun to me. But what are you going to do? Hey, all you out there in listener land, Mao here. Want to make a difference in the world? Want to make the world a better place? Well, you can. And it's easy. Go to projectpinball.org. It's a charity organization placing pinball machines where they're needed most, in the life of a little child that's in a hospital. And they need some help. They need us to help them, give them a little bit of funding, give some donations, you know, sign up for some of their raffles. There's a lot of exciting things to do, ways to give back to the community. I'm asking you out there listening right now, go to projectpinball.org or look them up on Facebook. Everything's on Facebook, right? Of course it is. So go there, donate, help spread the love and the joy of a pinball machine to a little kid in a hospital. What could be better? Not much. All right. Thanks, everyone. Go donate today. You'll feel better. Kids will feel better. Everyone's better. It's win, 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 win. Or something like that, right? Right.
Yeah, I called her up. She gave me a bunch of crap about me not listening to her enough or something. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
So, yikes. Yes.
Yeah, oh, lovely story during the break.
Yeah, the story on break was rough.
Yeah, anyway.
So, yeah, anyway. And again, please visit projectpinball.org. I'm not part of that organization, but I really believe in their cause, so I'm trying to get the word out. So, you know, give them some love and mostly give them some money, and they need it. All right, so...
We were alluding to in the first segment about infomercials.
Oh, yeah.
Do you actually... I mean, I really do. I really don't like them, but you... Seems like you do.
No, I don't like them. I don't watch them or like them. I like the... Like, the whole concept of it is kind of baffling. Hmm. You know, this dates back to when they used to have those, like you're saying, Mr. Microphone, where it's like that oversell, that, like, super pitch where they're like, yeah, you know, oh, and some guy is so obviously lying right to you, but people buy it. Like, now there's this guy that he paints, like, a screen door with this gunk, and he's like, look at me, I have a rowboat now, it's a screen door, and you're like... That can't work. That's not true. Nobody believes this, but people believe it. Or, you know, that one guy had, like, there was clay where you can, like, look at this putty. I can fix a car with this putty. Or, you know, like, you can fix anything with it. And you're just like, who believes this
I can
stuff?
Cure blindness with this putty.
And then there's always, like, there's always that line. But wait. There's more. We're going to double it with just extra shipping and handling, which is, like, $20. Yeah. And, you know, and you're like, how is it, like as a cultural thing, you kind of sit there and think, how is this a thing? How can this work? And I wish it was a museum that bought every one of those things that as seen on TV, and it would be the as seen on TV museum, and you'd be like, oh man, remember that one blonde chick who was doing the leg thigh master? And
the Suzanne Summers.
Suzanne Summers, yeah.
From Three's Company. Chrissy from Three's Company. Oh yeah.
Wasn't there two Chrissies?
No, there was when she left the show, there was other girls that took over.
Okay.
There was one, they called her Cindy, was the other one.
Cindy, yeah, right.
And I forgot what the third one was. The third girl was Priscilla Barnes was the actress who played her, but I can't remember what her name was, but yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was that show plays on one of our retro channels here. I still watch every once in a while because it's so
why not?
Dopey funny, and I like Don Knotts, you know, as Mr. Furley or whatever, but you know what I don't like about infomercials? It's like, you know how... The video goes, the old video killed the radio star.
Uh-huh.
Well, infomercial killed the Late Late Show.
It really did. Because the late shows would be that slot, and they weren't paying nothing for it. They weren't, but
exactly
who cares?
Right. Exactly right. The TV stations would have to buy the movies to show.
Oh, not good old crazy B movies.
Yeah,
you know,
ones that we love on our Creature Feature show, whereas now... They get paid to show these infomercials.
And they're making money,
and
who cares?
Money.
They don't care what it is. As long as it passes the FCC laws, you know.
And it's like 4 hours of this,
I know, it's terrible.
Well, whatever, you know, that's just the way it is. And
but hey, here's some
changes.
Surf music to cheer you up.
Yay!
Run away! Run away! Run away! We'll be right back.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, that was Space Party with, what's the name of this? Oh boy.
See? Surfing something.
Invasion of the Surfermen. And I played for you Gumshoe, Flight to Mars, and Beyond the Surf, followed by some wacky, most annoying sound in the world, which, if you are taking note, I fit into every every show. That's one of those things I do to see if anyone notices, and no one ever does. All 57 shows on the indie circuit have had, hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Even though I have hundreds and hundreds of sound effects.
Maybe they're just shy and they don't want to tell you.
No, I just gave up asking for people to write in because nobody writes in because that's too much time for our hustling and bustling
maybe they
daily
can't
life.
Write.
I never learned to read. Yes. If you can't make fun of your listeners, who can you make fun of?
Yeah, we're going to make fun of ourselves.
Hey, look, I'm Don Rickles.
Hey, you hockey puck, get out of here.
Hey, is that your wife or your neck throw up?
Yeah. No. That was a good one. Yeah, I
not
like
really.
That one.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well.
But it's just kind of funny how when you think back about, not now this goes away from the infomercials, but commercials in general, yeah. How they are just in your brain.
The old ones, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because you kept watching them over and over again.
There was three channels. You were in there.
Yeah, constant repetition. But the Ronco, the KTEL Records. KTEL presents the best of 1976.
They were so Cheese Factory. You know, it was so funny just to sit back and those over-the-top guys, you know.
From one end of America to another, from tiny hamlet to the big cities, the critics are raving about Blazing Stewardesses. And here's what they're saying. Blazing Stewardesses outblazes Blazing Saddles. It's a mad, 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 mad world of sheer lunacy and complete insanity.
Dunhall!
And the thunderous acclaim grows and grows and grows. Blazing Stewardesses out Panthers Pink Panther. Blazing Stewardesses out sexes everything you wanted to know about sex.
Dunhall!
And still the applause mounts. Until it is a crescendo of joy, an overwhelming accolade of spontaneous acclaim. Blazing Stewardesses is all that and more, more, more. If you see one picture this year, make it Blazing Stewardesses. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Please, Dunhall!
From Independent International.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Don't holla.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
Wow.
For a reason, possibly.
Nice.
Yeah, those radio spots. I miss that stuff on the radio. Now it's all that freaking, like, whatever I hear the radio station, it's, I don't know, I don't get into it anymore.
I haven't listened to radio in forever.
Especially FM.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's, like, over-processed or whatever. I like when it's, like, more, like, natural sounding or whatever. But you're right, I haven't listened to it whatever, you know, because it's... The music, I mean, we're playing interesting music on this show, but it just seems like whenever I listen to a rock station, it's like Freebird. Again, yeah. And again, and again, you know what I mean? And I don't have a lighter.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure why this happens, but it always happens. Decades, an entire decade just gets homogenized into like a 10-second
sound
clip,
soundbite,
or a soundbite, and it's the same, like, five songs, and it's the same couple news clips.
Yeah.
There was an entire decade, man. There was so much, like, vibrancy and life and good stuff out of every decade, even the worst decades. There was things going on.
Yeah.
But they just homogenize it to this garbage.
Because they don't think you have the attention span to, like, listen to more, you know what I mean? They want to make it quick so you hear it and it's done. You know, they don't think people have enough in them to, like, sit down
and
listen to more music, more different types of music. Go into albums, deeper cuts, more songs that you may not have heard. I mean, a band puts out a record. There's 10, 12 songs on it. Why do you have to just play the two hits?
And then, now, I understand it when they're making the push.
No doubt.
That's fine. But 10 or 3 decades later...
Yeah.
Play something different,
play
man.
Play something different. I'll listen.
I'm here for a reason. Give us a deeper sampling, you know?
Yeah.
And like, if you watch the news, the 60s were just Woodstock and protests about the war.
Nixon was the 70s.
But I mean...
And the Beatles.
But there was so much.
There was a lot more.
Every decade, there was so much. And they just... just garbage it up to nothing. And what's, why is that though? Is it just,
it's easy. It's easy. They're just making it easy.
Some dude made that montage like in the 80s, yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, okay, anytime you talk about the 60s, drop in this montage.
Yeah,
and
hey,
that's
here,
it.
You got the 60s montage. Oh, yeah, it's coming. Okay, thanks, you know.
Picture of, who's that lady? Janis Joplin giving the peace sign, yeah. And then some hippies, and then war,
and
then
Beatles,
the 70s. Yep.
The 70s.
That's it.
And then that's
keep
it.
On trucking, and then that's it.
Keep on trucking.
I am not a crook. Keep on trucking. Yeah. The end. Convoy. The end of that. You know.
Convoy.
No.
Good
okay.
Buddy.
Let's convoy into some good music.
Good buddy.
Let's do some ghastly ones.
Good.
That is good music. Here's some ghastly ones. We'll be right back.
Perfect. Cut, print, kill the pig.
What? You can't kill him if he's wearing people clothes.
We'll be right back. Calm down, darling. Calm down. You're imagining things.
It's not my imagination. This is all real. So dead and ugly.
Bloodlusting, shine drinking, pill taking, pot smoking, crip taking, law breaking, bootlegging, cop killing, fast living characters you've ever seen.
It's the moonshine blockbuster of the year. See them both. The bootlegger. He wanted the money and he didn't care how. He's mean and mad for moonshine. The bootlegger. Plus, on the same bill,
Moonshiner's Woman. Mix moonshine with LSD and you take a murder trip. Moonshiner's Woman. From the backwoods to the bright lights. She was big trouble. It's big action, big trouble, big excitement. Moonshiner's Woman. Moonshiner's Woman. Moonshiner's Woman. Moonshiner's Woman. It makes Thunder Road look like an ice cream social.
Moonshiner's Woman. One more time.
Yeah, boy, talk about the heavy-handed sell.
Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, that was, like I said, that was the Ghastly Ones. And what did I play it from? I played from Unearthed. Okay, what did I play? I played...
What tunes did you play there?
Robot Atomico. Then I played Werewolves on Wheels.
Good movie.
Yeah, then I played Surfin' Spooks and the Icy Grip of Fear. Then I played Moonshiner's Woman.
Moonshiner's Woman.
Wow. You know, they also... Movie...
The hard sell was great back then.
And movies don't call out other movies saying that they're better than them now.
That was so great. That'd be somebody like,
Star Trek 9, we're way better than Star Wars.
Star Crash, we're better than Star Wars. Take that, Lucas.
Oh, my God. It's so true. Although that one movie, Laser Blast, did shoot... Remember they shot a picture of the Star Wars thing?
Laser Blast is great.
Yeah, it was.
I miss them movies.
Me too. You were born ready. All right.
Yeah.
So
I was.
But and you know those funny movies like that, they always seem to be like
Moonshiner's Wife or whatever.
That's
the hell
straight
that was
up
called.
Made for like a
for drive-ins.
Drive-in double features, right?
Yeah, yeah. We were talking in the break. I didn't realize that you went to so many drive-ins. You
yeah.
know?
That's right. I saw Close Encounters of the Third Kind at a drive-in.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Actually, there's a place called Shankweiler's Drive-In. right where I grew up, near where I grew up, and that's like the country's oldest drive-in.
Is it still working?
I think it is.
Wow. I know there's a drive-in somewhere in Pennsylvania where every, like, during Halloween, they show, like, three old movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they do, like, a special drive-in, you know, like, they show, like, some 70s or 60s or whatever. So that's kind of like Americana stuff, like hot rodding, which, you know, you got a blog and all that stuff. That's kind of part of it, too. But it's died down a bit because of the property values and stuff like that.
And all, yeah, it's also, it is...
It's not as comfortable as going to a regular theater. But then again, you don't have somebody sitting next to you that you don't know, like on their phone annoying you. So, you know, there's a good and bad to it.
With the way home theaters are now.
Yeah, that's it too. Yeah, I know.
It's almost a better experience at home with a, you know, if you have a 60-inch TV, like the high def and the surround sound, or even like a 45 or 55, I mean... How much better could it get? Blu-ray,
yeah,
high
def. When you go to a movie theater, it's really big.
Cool. Oh, it's cool.
It's really big, but I just don't care for the movies that they're playing. That's all.
Yeah, really. Drive-ins are kind of a special thing. They're really interesting.
It was a cheap way to get the family in to see a movie on the weekend.
I'm trying to think of this other what the name of the... Oh, now it's driving me crazy. There was a place... There was a couple drive-ins near where I lived. The one, Shankweiler's, was the oldest in the country. There was one over, like, near the other part of town that it played X-rated movies.
Sure, there was always one of those.
Like, Friday and Saturdays it would play movies.
Yeah.
All the rest of the week it played X-rated movies.
And if you were driving by, you could see it, or was it, like, up in the mountains where you couldn't see it? Yeah, down where I grew up in Miami.
Becky's Drive-In. It was driving me crazy because I kept on thinking Porky's. And I'm like, come on, this isn't Porky's. Becky's Drive-In.
I'll have to look that up. There's a website for old drive-ins.
Yep. Becky's Drive-In, and it would say, not New Tripoli. I guess Walnutport, it would say. Walnutport, PA.
Okay.
But right, Becky's Drive-In, that was the dirty, you know, dirty movies.
Dirty drive-in theater. Except on the weekends.
Yep.
On the weekends, it was family.
Ghost Dad. I saw Ghost Dad there. I saw lots
Ghost
of movies.
Ghost Dad, wow.
That was a part of a double feature. Just.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, the last time I went to a drive-in was 1980-something. It's been that long.
I
lived in Miami, and there was tons of them. Our dirty drive-in was the Boulevard Drive-In on Biscayne Boulevard, where you drive by and you see, like, movies like Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS, and you're going like, what is that? That's not playing in my theater. You know, yeah, kid. Don't look, you know. Don't look over there. But we had tons in Miami. The Boulevard, the Golden Glades, the Tropicare. Obviously, Miami, warm weather all year long. They played the weirdest movies. I mean, you'd get, like, your regular movie, but then the
Moonshiners
feature,
Women.
Yeah, you'd get the Moonshiner's Woman, and maybe afterwards would be The Omen or something like that. You know, they didn't care.
Yeah,
it was just like two movies. Here you go, R-rated or PG or G or whatever. And then kids would be playing on the stairs. I used to have a swing set. Kids would be playing on a swing set until it got real dark in the movie. Then the snack bar, and then the crappy little bathroom
there. We used to sneak people in the trunk.
Sneak people in the trunk.
Oh, yeah, because you had to pay by head. So we always had one or two friends in the trunk.
And then, of course, it was BYOB.
Yep. Always really
lots
drunk.
Lots of that, yeah.
I remember when my parents used to take us to the drive-in, and we would sit on, they had an old Ford Torino, and they would sit on the inside, and we would sit on the roof.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And the roof wouldn't even cave in. Like, it would hold two.
It was a tank. It was a steel tank, cars. They were. You know what movie I saw in a drive-in? Carrie.
Wow, that'd be a great drive-in movie.
And the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, too. I saw it in a drive-in. But with Carrie, I actually sat outside of the car, and that very last scene, that surprise scene at the very end, we were outside of the car. We could hear the people going screaming inside their cars, and it was hilarious, you know.
What a fun time, you know.
It was good times. Yeah, it was good times. But, hey, there's still a few drive-ins left. But if they're anywhere near your town,
I heard
in Tampa called Funland. And I think there's one in Lakeland also.
Now they're doing this thing where they... with like an inflatable screen where it's just like they'll rent it and people just blow it up in a field and then people just show up.
Well, you know what my friend used to do?
They
can
play. And they play them on the high def projectors and they're just...
Yeah. As of only maybe 10 or 15 years ago, my friend, when he was living down south, he had like a screen and he had a 16 projector, and in the summer, not that we couldn't have done it in the fall or winter because it's not that cold down in South Florida, he would show like some 16 print and we would watch it in his backyard, like by his pool or whatever.
Wow, that's
one
cool.
time we got a big wind gust and the screen just went right into the pool, you know what I mean? So like movie went, whoa, but anyway, we fixed that and everything was good.
That's fun times.
Those are the good, hell yeah.
All right, one last music break. We'll be right back. That's cool though.
Boring.
Dad, we can't see the movie.
I can't believe we're paying to see something we get on TV for free. If you ask me, everybody in this theater is a giant sucker. Especially you!
We'll be right back. Come on, throw in a buck.
I don't tip.
You don't tip?
No, I don't believe in it.
Okay, that was Petty Buka with Dancing with Petty Buka. I played track number 3 because I don't know what the... No, I think it is just actually track number 3. And then I also played Perhaps, 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 which is one of my favorites. I love that one. And then, of course, I played a clip from Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, one of your favorites also.
Yeah, I actually like that movie.
Yeah, it is good. I remember when it first came out, everybody was like, whoa, what the heck is this? You know,
craziness, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then there was the other one that he did after that, True Romance, which was good too.
Well, no, True Romance was first.
Was it first?
That was the one, because he wrote that script, and that was what he used to pay for the Reservoir
for
Dogs.
For Reservoir Dogs, and then after that, it was Natural Born Killers, I guess, and then, which I never saw.
Oh yeah, it was Natural Born Killers.
It was
I forgot
Oliver,
that. Was that his?
Oliver Stone. Yeah, he wrote it. Oliver Stone directed it.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yes, he did. Those are the three scripts that got him to become like a big shot in Hollywood.
Boy, and my well-documented love hate of him.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what to even say, man. Sometimes I'm kind of disappointed in myself for being so like, because I love a lot of his stuff, and then. But then I'm so kind of like,
it gets repetitious
this guy.
After a while.
And also, he seems very, I don't know, egotistical, but I guess that everyone would be. He'd have to be.
You don't have to be.
I mean, well, yeah, I guess you're right.
But, you know, he is.
Those are tough fights to get stuff made.
Yeah, I know.
The movie industry is very disenchanting once you find out the reality of it, you know.
Yeah.
I liked it better when it was grinding them out and going to the drive-ins.
The good old drive-ins, just like Roger Corman. Whipping up a movie poster going like, hey, you guys, you want to buy this movie? Yeah, sure.
Got 20 grand in a camera? Let's make a movie.
Yeah, let's go to the Philippines and make a movie.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. Unfortunately, we have to cut it short. It goes by too fast. I'm Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.